So the problem that is mainstream media, and I'm going to go ahead and say it, ABC, NBC, CBS, MSNBC, Fox News, of course, CNN, they don't want to have the real conversation that whiteness is also identity politics. They only see identity politics as you black people, you Latino black, people, you gay people, folks, yeah. and you women.
Gay people,
so,
exactly.
So we don't want to contend with the cultural battle is actually a battle of whiteness.
Well, that explains, in large part, the reaction to Vivek Ramaswamy and Elon Musk talking sort of...
Boom!
Right? They're talking about, oh, yes, those HB1 visas. Yeah, we got a whole, a whole different plan. We need to bring black and brown people in because you white men are dumb as shit. And guess what? I said, Elon Musk, Vivek Ramaswamy, none of these folks, and this is very true, all these billionaires that are coddling up the Trump himself, they're not, Elon is not hiring these folks to work at SpaceX. He's not hiring these
You don't think so? No, the guys from the MAGA rally? You don't think any of them are going to work for Palantir?
Hell no.
For Peter Thiel? He's not hiring MAGA rally.
This is what I keep saying about those idiot MAGA people. Donald Trump won't even let y'all walk through his hotel lobby. He don't give a damn about these people. And
it's working too. I got some friends from college from Ole Miss that went and up to Chicago and sent me a selfie from the Trump Tower dinner they were having. I was like, you guys are marks.
Dude, you talking about marks? Wait a minute. You had
well done this steak.
Crazy. Donald Trump's tariffs, the last time he was, because I don't say president, I say occupant of the Oval Office. The last time he occupied the Oval Office, he literally caused farmers to go bankrupt in the Midwest.
Sure did.
I remember reading a story where this one farm, if y'all want to know how delusional these people are, one of the farmers said, I know I lost my family farm, but I will support them again. I said, you have got to be out your fucking mind. So you can't counter that.
Well, and that's why you not only saw what you saw play out in this general election, irrespective of the Democrats' incompetency and communication, a few other things politically, it seems as if it's almost a little bit baked in when you have that response to someone like Trump. So, Tim, what does the second term look like that begins in 2 weeks?
Let me just really quick on you can't counter that. Maybe you can. But here's my thought.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I just say briefly, just that part of it though is the Democrats have to realize they're in a culture battle and fight on culture grounds that are winning culture grounds. Not culture grounds make them feel good, but culture grounds that are politically winning. That goes back to your point from earlier, Roland. But the Springfield is such a prime example. The people who say this was about economic, and sure, elections are complex, inflation played a part, but like, it's not really about economics. Like their anger was about culture, but the Republicans gained some ground on that culture fight with working class black and brown folks, and Democrats need to fight that battle, and the Democrats need to be the party again of calling for change that cares about these people's lives and wants to make them better. And I'm talking about all working class folks across the board, and not like be the party of the incumbents. We want things to stay the same. So anyway, I think that's how you combat it. You try to regenerate that mantle of being the ones that are fighting the man, not the one that are the man, and that you engage in culture battles for what they are and see them clearly rather than like pretending like, putting a plant in Springfield's going to help, because it didn't. It backfired, actually.
Well, first of all, let me explain this idea in terms of how they gain. This is people need to understand. When black voter participation drops, then what is perceived as a gain is really not a gain. It was always there. So the problem is, if you look at the last, since Obama's election in 2008, we're actually falling back towards pre-Obama voting participation. Yep. Then you throw in the Shelby v. Holder decision.
Right.
Okay. Yeah. Then you throw all of that. Now, all of a sudden, you have a complete targeting to contract the black vote. But here's the other piece that
there was a real gain, though, among Hispanic and like Hispanic, Asian. Like, if you go to the border, like, that's a gain. Like, there were Hispanic districts that became
right, yeah. Right. Because again, Democrats are operating by 1994 data and 1994 game plans. This is what I mean. The further you get away from the civil rights movement, then you have fewer black people to self-identify. Okay. So 65 and older, that baby boomer, that they will self-identify as Democrats. So you go to 55, then 45, lower. What's the one group that Trump won? Gen X. Okay. That's the only demographic that he actually won was Gen X. So when you go lower, African Americans are not self-identifying, which means you're the Democrats. You just can't just roll out the usual game plan, say, oh, they're going to show up. No. What did Jean O'Malley Dillon and David Plouffe and Quentin Folks and Stephanie Cutter do? They ran that Obama plan from 2008. Yeah. That shit don't work in 2024 because the person who was 10 in 2008 is now 26. And so that person is like, what you going to do? So here's what I think when I say, how do you counter? And I said this to Obama, and I said to the Biden people, I don't understand why they still play games. You got to be willing to go look broke-ass white people in the eye. And you got to be able to go. See, when you said wait for Trump to fail, all Republicans, please get rid of the Affordable Care Act. And then you want to go to the brokest, thickest, reddest, whitest parts of Alabama and Mississippi and Arkansas and say, you know, we passed that law for your broke, stick ass. And the people you keep voting for screwed your health care. They don't want to do Medicaid expansion. They don't want Medicare for all. Yeah. See, broke white people in America don't actually think they broke.
Well, see, they know it.
But see, you gotta be willing to look them in the eye and say, you gotta be willing to look in my eye and say, oh, I'm sorry. That we built that. Oh, by the way, he voted against it. She voted against it. So we see they don't.
I think a big part of what you're saying there goes to the heart of a very important point that taps into the identity politics and the culture politics. Is one of the things that has been successful, I think, in the political speak, in the political indoctrination and culturation of a lot of poor white people is the fact that whiteness was a safeguard. At the end of the day, I'm still not like you. You put it on the table that you are exactly like them.
Dude, you mentioned Reconstruction. It is an undeniable fact. In the history of America, at every period when black people fought for civil and economic rights, white people benefited. I'm about to mess up a lot of white women. White women, y'all keep voting for Trump and Republicans.
They do.
Guess what, white women? You have been the greatest beneficiaries of affirmative action more than anybody else. You know why? Because when they say MWBE Enterprises, the W should be WW, white women. Y'all have gotten more contracts than anybody else. White women who are doctors and lawyers and engineers in professional schools, y'all should be thanking black people because Title IX, y'all ain't know where in the hell Title IX comes from. It comes from the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which black people fought for. And you know why y'all were included? Because a racist in Virginia, Judge Smith, inserted women thinking he was going to kill the bill, and it didn't. So y'all got Title IX, which opened the professional schools up because of the law. That was black people who fought for the law. So I'm saying
it also went into sports and right. it's business, sports, all of those spaces.
All these white women who are CEOs, all these white women who are board of directors, You benefited because guess what? White men want y'all in the kitchen having babies at home. Let's just go ahead and put it out there.
Coming back, Harrison Butker. Right? Past tense. Josh Hawley's all about that.
We just got to be honest about this here. And so what we're dealing with, so Democrats are trying to play nice about it. And I said, this is Senator Bernie Sanders. I said, if you keep talking identity politics, I said, I'm going to whack your ass publicly. I told him that to his face. I said, me and you about to have a problem. Because Bernie keeps thinking class, class, class. He keeps yelling identity politics. I'm like, dude, I wish these people could stop. Was like, if the Democrats, Bill Maher, shut the fuck up. Oh, Democrats keep going identity politics. Michael, you were the chair of the party.
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong. All of politics is about segmenting groups.
Yes.
You segment based upon race, age, geography.
All of politics is identity politics.
Gender. All of it.
Yeah, it can go wrong, though.
But to this point, Tim, you were a comms guy. Yeah. And so your communication was based on identity.
For sure. Like, for sure. And it's totally overstated by the critics. That said, identity politics can go awry. And like, you know, we don't need to go over all the ways that it has for the Democrats. But there are times where the Democrats have let some elite members of one group. We'll use the obvious one, for example, Latinos, like some Latino academics decided that they wanted to use Latinx or Latinx, right, which I wanted to call it. And so then Democratic groups were like, we're doing identity politics by saying we're reaching out to Latinx people. But then all the voters are like, what the hell are you talking about? If you're going to do identity politics, just do it right, though. Sometimes the Democrats think they're pandering, but they're only pandering to a tiny group of people that are already going to be with them instead of pandering to the actual demographic. Like, I want to see some good pandering from the Democrats. That's my advice.
That goes back to the fundamental problem of Democrats, is that sometimes you can be so smart, you dumb as shit.
Right.
So what happens is Democrats, you have Democrat elites who are in these very small circles.
Yep.
And let me also add, in those small elite Democrat circles, they pretty damn white and exclusionary. So they come up
with educated like at minimum.
They come up with shit like Latinx and didn't go talk to none of the people who fall in the category. I mean, I remember when it first came out, I was like, and I'm born and raised in Texas. I'm like, y'all, they're like, hell no, we don't use that. So Latinos, remember, even talk about Latino / Hispanics, because in America, this is still politics. You can't treat a Texan, a Mexican American in Texas, the same way a Chicano in Chicago,
nope,
or Puerto Rican, yeah, or Dominican, nope, Republic, Cuban. And so
that's what Tim was saying. Tim was saying, get your identity politics right. If you're gonna do it right.
But also, we have to, and this is where Democrats don't want to deal with it. You have to confront whiteness. And what I mean by that is you have to literally say things that are gonna make some people uncomfortable. You have to be willing to go, when I say go to those places and challenge them head on. And I see all these stories, and David Sirota keeps putting this stuff out. Oh, Democrats, they lost the working class. I kept saying, no, it's called the white working class. See, right, they don't even want to say it then because they don't want to even confront. If we just put this all the shit on the table right now, if you look at what Biden Harris did, Democrats did for the last 4 years, please tell me how the white working class or the working class got screwed. The white working class got a hell of a whole lot. But when the right demonizes what you do, and then you don't even know how to talk to people and willing to engage them in a serious way, you have to stand in front of somebody and say, you like that health care, huh? Oh, sure, Affordable Care Act, it ain't perfect, but is it better than having no health care? Oh, let's talk about SNAP benefits. Let's just not talk about SNAP benefits from a poor standpoint. It's called the working class. Let's talk about those real things. See, they don't, because they don't actually want you. I'm just going to go put it out here. If I hear another Democrat fucking talk about the middle class the entire time, I'm sorry. Is that the only class in America? Can you actually say the working poor? Can you actually say low-income people. No, the middle class. It's more people in the damn lower-income bracket than the damn middle-class bracket. But see, we don't want to be honest with this because we don't want to sit on, I don't know, because I know how they feel. You got to tell some broke-ass white people who live in towns in the Midwest that nobody is moving to. No, you got to go ahead and say it. There are broke-ass white people living in towns in the Midwest nobody's moving to. But don't send those fucking migrants, because guess what? Your town might get revitalized, and now you're pissed because they're there.
Well, so that raises 2 points for me. One of them was the fact that I got into a little bit of a pissing match with a member of Congress from the South, who was going on and again making that false equivalence in between being poor and being black. If you think poor, the images of a black person or a black family,
and that's media.
And I had to point out to him that in his particular congressional district, the vast majority of the people on welfare were his white constituency. In fact, African Americans in his district were doing quite well.
Hold on. You got to share with us. So when you hit him with that truth bomb, what happened?
Well, not much. Not much.
When you hit him, did he go, what? Michael, how dare you?
Right.
My white people are not broke.
That was essentially it. That was essentially the reaction, not just from his office, but from the media, that this, again, this classification was something that they did not want to apply to the very people it should be applied to. Because I don't know how you do math when if you're proud to say the majority of these people are white and we're happy, then that would lead me to believe that the majority of poor people in this country would be white too. And yet we don't want to have that conversation. We want to create this illusion that all the wealth and the concentration of the middle class is white, when in fact that is not the relevant reality for a lot of those families, which again, going to how we've looked at this conversation, led Democrats to sort of come up with the narratives that they did that completely missed the white working poor.
Look, I'm a big gangster. Okay, Tim, you did comms, right?
I did, man.
Okay, here's how you be gangster with comms. All that shit Democrats passed, Republicans voted against, they were there for the ribbon cutting. Biden should have said, send Harris down. Biden should have said, I'm a pop up. See, I just think that sometimes you gotta pop up and say, just want to let y'all know.
You want Kanye taking that Golden Globe away from Taylor Swift? That's yeah, what you I'm, wanted him out there? Big scissors right out of your hands. You didn't vote for that.
And by deal is, see, let me tell you how gangster I am. I would sit here and send an invite to that Republican member of Congress saying, fly down on Air Force One or Two with me for the ribbon cutting. See, I'm not going to cede any territory to my opposition. I'm a rain on their parade at every time.